members a new way tonight. Now you be turning your Bible to 1 John, but also be turning to our invitational hymn. And we'll go right into it, okay? All right, we're going to try it, see if y'all pass, okay? All right, 1 John chapter 2, verse 3 through 11 tonight, we want to look at saved and sure. And as we look at our text tonight, we're going to be reading it as we go tonight. Remember, the Bible teaches us that we can know that we're saved. That's 1 John. That these things are right, that you may know you have eternal life. It is a no-so salvation, not a hope-so, not a maybe-so. But let's go a little deeper with that. We can know we're saved because we can apply certain criteria of the Bible to test ourselves to see if we're in the faith. Remember, Paul said, make your calling and election sure. Examine yourself to be in your faith. Well, the whole book of 1 John is written that you may be able to test yourself to see if you're a Christian. Okay? And so he uses that phrase, he that saith. It's used three times. I have trouble with that word saith until I get my teeth. But y'all know what I'm talking about, right? They got me on hold for all those out there in the web world. I'm still waiting. I'm waiting for my partials to come in. I keep calling them, and I think I'm going to aggravate them. I don't want to do that. Don't want to aggravate your dentist, you know. But I'm still waiting for them to call me and get all that done. He that saith is used three times in our preaching text, verse 4, verse 6, and verse 9. And everywhere it's used, John introduces us to a series of tests by which we can know that we are saved. Do y'all agree with your pastor today? He says, I write these things that you may know you have eternal life, right? And our argument is not, if your argument is with the Word of God, we're on shaky ground, right? So John gives us three visible evidences of a Christian. Number one, obedience. Number two, a transformed life. Number three, love. Now, let's look at the first one. The test of obedience in verses 3 through 5. He says this, and hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. Now, this is a section of scripture that is very difficult for an expositor like I am. You want to outline it, you want to, you know, but it's at times, when I went through 1 John, this section seemed very choppy to me. And so y'all hang with me tonight, okay? The test of obedience is the first test in verses 3 through 5. We see, first of all, in verses 3 and 4, the desire of obedience. God's people who are saved desire to obey his commandments. And you see that in verses 3 and 4. He says, we keep his commandments, verse 3. That word keep in verse 3 means to guard carefully, as guarding a treasure, watchful obedience. We could use it that way. We should have an attitude of obedience in our heart. And then in verse 4, John here does not mean a life of perfect obedience. We can't do that in the flesh, right? We're not in heaven yet. But there is a pattern of continued obedience in the life of the Christian. Notice what he said in verse 4. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. So there is this desire to obey the Lord's command. Verse 5, and whosoever keep his word, him verily is the love of God perfected in us. How do we know the love of God is perfected in us? Because there is a desire to obey him and the desire to please him. We should have a desire to obey him. That's the test of a Christian. John 14:15 says, if you love me, keep my commandments. John 14:23 says, if a man love me, he will keep my words. And then as we look at the test of obedience in verse 5, we see again the display of obedience. His love is perfected in our hearts, and it comes out in obedience. We know that God's love has reached our heart when we have an attitude of obedience. And God's love has been accomplished in us in salvation. And now we have a desire to obey him. We have a new attitude toward the Word of God. And I would ask you tonight, do you have a heart attitude to obey the Word of God and the will of God? Amen? That is the test of a Christian. And those who go off have no desire for the Word, no desire for anything in the things of God, no desire to please God, obey him, I would very suspect, their profession of faith would be very suspect. So we see the test of obedience. Secondly, we see the test of life in verse 6. Notice what it says. He that saith, there's that phrase again, he abideth in him ought himself also to walk even as he walked. If we are children of God, we are children of God. God is our Father. We are children of God. We are brothers and sisters in Christ. In fact, Jesus calls himself our elder brother, and we are in the family of God, right? And the Bible teaches us here that there is a desire to walk as he walked. I mean, right? I mean, that's innate. That comes with us by the indwelling Holy Spirit, because he wants to conform us to his image of his Son, and part of that is walking as he walked. Right? When we talk about walk, we're talking about a life. We're talking about our conduct. We're talking about a pattern, the believer's conduct and lifestyle as giving experience or example that he's a Christian. So there is a desire to walk as he walked. Now we see two walks here in verse 6. We see the Savior's walk. By walking, again, we're talking about everyday walk and experiences of life, the believer's conduct and lifestyle. And so where do we see how Jesus walked? Anybody tell me? In the scriptures, right? It will tell us how Jesus walked. And so we see the saints walk as well. We are to walk as he walked. Means that we should have a desire to imitate Jesus Christ. Basically, to me, those are synonyms. Obedience and imitation. When we got saved, we identified with his death, burial, and resurrection. In our baptismal waters, you identified with his death, burial, and resurrection by giving a display, identification to the world of your death to sin, raised to walk in the newness of life. So we make an identification with Christ, really, technically. We walk the aisle, or maybe, but really, technically, in the New Testament, it's done in the baptismal waters. And then we imitate him. After we identify with him, we imitate him in his walk. So we abide in him, we're in him, we're in fellowship with him, a permanent union, the branches to the vine, but yet there is a communion that goes on, and that we imitate him in his walk. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21 says, "For even hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps," right? To walk as Jesus walked. That's what it's talking about, the test of life. Now, not only do we see the test of obedience and the test of life, but we see the test of love. And I've noticed the last few times that my sermons have been a little shorter. I'm thinking that's probably in my mind because of my teeth, okay? But I want to make them like that. The test of love is the next one in verses 7 to 11. These are very complicated verses here. And I've always had trouble explaining them and things like that. But we're going to take a shot. The test of love. Here we have a great commission and we have a great commandment. First of all, in verses 7 and 8, we see the paradox of love. "Brethren, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment, which you have from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which you have heard from the beginning." Now notice verse 8. "Again, a new commandment I write." Now you just got through telling us he wasn't going to write us a new commandment. In verse 8 he tells us he is. He says, "A new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past and the true light now shineth." He says he's not going to give us a new commandment, but he does here. And this, what he's talking about here, this new commandment, is fulfilled and manifested in Jesus Christ in verse 8. John 13, verse 34 says, "Love is a test of genuine Christianity." You know, if there's anybody in this fellowship tonight that you're on outs with, or you think is on outs with you, and you don't love them, we got a big problem, right? Because Bible says that the brethren love the brethren, right? And you cannot dwell in unity if you don't have love, right? So we may not like their ways. I'm sure I got some ways you don't like, but come up close, you got ways I don't like, right? But we love each other, okay? Now we obey God from a heart of love. We're not here tonight out of ritualistic obedience. We don't do what we do as a Christian trying to keep rules and regulations. We do it out of a heart of love, right? Let me give you an example. The law says, the Old Testament law says, that parents should take care of their children, right? Now, under love, we take care of them because we love them. We don't need a law to tell us to love our children, right? We do it out of a heart of love. The higher law is love, right? So this is what he's talking about here, the paradox of love. Now look at the pattern of love in verse 8, if you will. He says again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past and the true light now shineth, it's manifested in the life of Christ. He set the example of love for us. He loved people, but not their sin, right? They said about him, I never thought about that until this week. I've read the phrase, but it's a compliment. He was a friend of sinners, right? He was a friend of sinners. Doesn't mean you hang out with them and do what they do, but you are a friend of sinners. And then we see the practice of love in verses 9 to 11. It gets harder. Notice verse 9 to 11. He that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even until now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness and walketh in darkness and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness hath blinded his eyes. So here we see a contrast, if you will, between true love and false love. What is true and what is not true. If you hate anyone, and I got this from somebody, if you hate anyone because of face, place, or race, you are walking in darkness, right? Because of face, place, or race, you are walking in darkness. Now, as Christians, we are often accused of not being loving. How many times have people come up to you wanting help and you're trying to be a good steward and you're trying to look at the case and you weighed it and said you're fixing to be taken and so you don't get taken, and then they say, well, I thought you was a Christian. And I always wanted to come back with, I thought you were going to work, right? You know, and as I look at that, we are often accused of not being Christian because we hate the sin. And they confuse that with hating the sinner, right? Because they can't make that difference. So they accuse us of not being loving toward unbelievers, when in reality, it's their sin that we despise. Because why? We want to be angry at the same things our Lord was angry at. And he was angry at sin, wasn't he? And we want to love what he loves. So we can know we're saved, if you will, by the test of obedience, life, and love. Three visible tests. You can see faith. You can see if someone is a follower of Christ. You know, it's easy to deceive people sometimes, but you can't do it all the time. There is a test of love and a test of life and a test of obedience. Father, I thank you for your word tonight as our musicians come and we'll be singing the hymn that's in the bulletin. Lord, as we go right into the invitation hymn as Brother Marcus makes his way. Lord, help each of us to examine our lives. Oh, we have so many faults. We live in this unredeemed flesh, but we can know we're saved. But we go by the criteria of the Bible, especially 1 John. This is what John tells us to do. Yes, we might have walked an aisle when we were 20. We might have been baptized and joined a church, but faith is active. It's passive. I mean, it's not passive. It can be seen. It's here and now. And do we love Jesus? Do we love others? Is our life different? Is there a desire to obey the Word of God? But before you have a desire to obey the Word of God, there has to be a desire to know the Word of God. So tonight, we examine our hearts. Oh, Father, we examine ourselves to see if we're in the faith tonight. We examine ourselves to see if we're doing all we can do in the kingdom. We examine ourselves to see if we're sold out, separated from the world. So, Father, tonight is a time of self-examination. Do your will and your work in this invitation service, and we ask these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.